Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker. A gathering place for Christian women to proclaim the love of Christ by sharing compelling life stories to encourage, inspire, and equip women on their personal journeys of faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us on this journey. Here's your host.
Hello, this is Vicki Petz Henderson, and I'm sitting in for Cynthia today. Welcome to My Journey of Faith. I have a guest with me today, Mr. Fred Teague. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Now,
I'd like to start out by telling you, I want to say a blessing over you, and that's Psalm 140:12. It says, I know that the Lord upholds the just cause of the poor and justice for the needy. And I was looking through some scripture and found this conditional promise in Isaiah 58:7, and it says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see him, and do not ignore your own flesh and blood? If you do this, then your light will appear like the dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. At that time when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, here I am. Fred Teague started the Rust Bus about 2 years ago, and it helps the community of Russellville who are facing homelessness. And they provide tents and micro cabins, and they have plans to build a 12-unit transitional living facility for individuals as well as families. So can you tell me how you first became an advocate for homelessness?
It all started with a picture on Facebook, believe it or not. I saw a picture, and it showed a homeless camp in Russellville, Arkansas, which is my hometown. And so I sought the source of that picture out, and that brought me to a single mother of two that is like a pit bull, a lady named Ashley Francis, and she was on her own doing stuff. Wasn't able to do a whole lot, but man, she was making a huge difference. And so we sat down and visited after helping a homeless friend there, and I asked her where she wanted to go with this, and she shared her dream, and I said, well, let's go. And it started from that. So it's pretty interesting. That, like I say, I didn't see it happening. I didn't see it coming.
And would you tell everybody what you're currently doing?
What am I currently? Okay. I think I've lost track. I think I'm on day 17 of what's called the 30-day challenge. We've been helping homeless for about 3 years now, and I realized that we needed to have a better look and an idea of what our homeless have to go through. So I'm on day 17 of living in a homeless camp here in Russellville, Arkansas, in order to raise awareness in our community about the needs and the fact that we do have a working homeless population, but also to kind of get an inside look of, granted, I am pretending to be homeless. I am not homeless. I'm pretending to be, to get an inside look of what they have to go through on a day-to-day basis and to try to tell their story.
Well, I would say it's been very successful at raising awareness. A lot of people, I think, are surprised that we even have homeless people in Russellville. Do you have any idea how many homeless people we have?
Right now, we're currently taking care of, our organization is currently taking care of about 37 tonight. Now, 37, I think. Now, that can fluctuate, and we're taking care of them in different capacities. Some of those live in tents. Some of those live in what are called micro cabins, which is a 32-square-foot building in the woods. Some of them live in motels. Some of them live in a couple buildings that we have that people live in. So there's different situations. The bad thing about that number 37, 18 of those range from the age of 3 months to the age of 17. So that's not a good thing.
It's definitely not a good thing. But I do think the response of the community has been absolutely overwhelming. And I think the more people become aware that there are small children living in these conditions, the more people will come forward and try to help.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it blows my mind. And I always tell people, I don't think I could do this in another community. This is my hometown. I've lived here for a long time. And we have the most generous community in the world. I always tell people that our community is looking for a need to meet. All we have to do is put a need out there on Facebook, and boom, it's being met. I mean, it just amazes me how generous our community is.
Probably to excess.
Oh, I mean, it is. I mean, God is definitely faithful. We have, in 3 years, we have never had a situation that we needed to meet that we had to say no to. And that's, you know, we have certain people that, you know, there are times we've stepped out. A real quick story that we stepped out in faith one morning. It's about 2 years ago. We had a huge snowstorm come through. And we looked and we said, man, it's going to be like below freezing for like a week. And we had tents collapsing on people. It was just kind of chaotic that day. And so I talked to my partner, Ashley, and I said, hey, listen, we're going to step out in faith and we're going to go get every person we can find and rent a motel room for them for a week. And she's like, we don't have that much money. I said, well, we're going to have it. And so I put out a post on Facebook and just said, guys, we're going to step out in faith. We're leaving right now to go out and get all of our friends. We rented 17 motel rooms for a week and they were paid for within 3 hours. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, that's God and God alone.
That is
so
incredible.
We didn't have the money and we just stepped out in faith. And God provided. It was amazing. So,
In 3 hours,
God stepped up, and it was kind of like her sister had our PayPal open on her iPad, and she called Ashley. She said, "What is going on?" She had no idea what we were doing. She said, "PayPal is going crazy," and so people were literally, it was coming from all over the United States because we have people that believe in what we do, and you know we have supporters from California, New York, and I mean it's just. It's truly amazing. That was a God thing just to see that happen. It was really cool.
That reminds me of the verse, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard.
Yeah, that is, without
cool.
a doubt.
So are you living in the micro cabin?
I'm living in a micro cabin. We made a decision as a team to live in what camp I would live in. And we're really kind of gives me confidence in the micro cabins that we've built because even in these harsh temperatures, we're able to stay warm. We provide, and for 2 years now, we've been able to provide heaters in all of our camps, whether they be a micro cabin or whether they be tents. So I can go to bed at night knowing that I don't have anyone out there on the streets freezing. We know that our homeless population, even though they're not in the best of circumstances, they're going to be warm enough that they're not going to freeze. So, but yeah, I live in a micro cabin. It's a unique experience. It's an eye-opening experience just kind of live in that small of an environment. But, you know, I always also tell people I'm pretending to be homeless in Russellville, Arkansas. People in Little Rock or Fort Smith or Oklahoma City or a larger demographic would literally love to live in what I'm living in right now. Because, and I try to explain to people, we have 37 today, okay? So we're able to take care of 37 people really good, whereas you get a team in Little Rock, they have 1,000, they're not able to do what we're able to do. And so that's why we're able to, instead of just be a homeless relief, we're a transitional. We work on transitioning people from homeless. Our goal is if you come to us homeless within 90 to 120 days, our goal is to get you into a home. And we can most of the time do that. Sometimes it'll take us a little bit longer. We've had it happen as short as a month, and but normally it's about 90 to 120 days. If you're willing to do work through what we have figured out that will work, then we can get you into a home.
That's amazing. That's awesome, really. So, what has surprised you the most about living homeless?
I think day three was the hardest. Not the hardest, but it was one of those lessons that are really. It was 25 degrees, and even though I still have my truck and I do when I have to work, because I still have to work my two jobs, but I made the choice to walk past my truck and walk to the mission because that's what my other people were having to do. So I walked almost a mile and a quarter in 25 degree weather in the mission and got my sock hat on, got my jacket on, my backpack, looking the part, because that's what a homeless person looks like. And I was amazed at how many people looked right past me or did not make eye contact with me because they felt like if they had eye contact with me, then they felt like I was wanting something from them, I think. And I say that because that's how I feel a lot of times in a different situation than I felt like before. But I was blown away at how that affected my spirit and how down that made me feel because I was felt like I was being dismissed. And I'm like, I'm pretending to do this. I know who I am. And these people, and there were people that I know personally. One time when I was walking to a friend of mine's funeral, And my mother actually drove by and she didn't see me. And I was like, oh gosh, Mom, you that'd be bad. But no, the fact that people don't look at a homeless person, man, that hurt. And I was like, man, if I'm down in this for real, my spirit is broken, I'm at a low point, God, that would hurt. That would even, you know, that somebody dismissed me would hurt even more. So I really encourage people, smile at someone, make eye contact. You don't owe anybody anything. You know, they're not sitting, you know, especially in Russellville, they're not sitting there with their hands out. They're just walking to work or they're walking to mission or something. And even in a bigger demographic, just because if somebody's standing there with asking for help doesn't mean that you owe them anything, but you can give them a smile. And if you cause them to smile, then it helps their day, you know, whether they think so or not. I think it's, you're a doctor, and I think it's probably pretty, it's been proven that it's healthy just to smile. And so that's what I really want people to do is, and we're seeing that happen is people are telling me, I had a lady in Houston. This is one of the, I told somebody today, this is probably like day 14 or so, this lady posted, she said, she said, I want to thank Fred Teague because tonight I bought pizzas for the men outside my building. And she said, and his name is, one of the guy's names is Thomas, and he has a story and he has a dream. I was like, it's all worth it just because tonight, you know, that night, Thomas, and from that night and from that day forward, somebody knew Thomas's name. Mm-hmm. Somebody was going to do something for Thomas and maybe help Thomas's dream come true. And so that blew me away. That's great that they got pizza that night, but I went to bed knowing that somebody knew Thomas's name.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. And I've written about that on my blog as well. I recently went to New York City last week, actually. And my son was talking to what appeared to me to be a professional panhandler. Mm-hmm. And he asked my son for money, and he said no. And then he started telling him his story. Mm-hmm. And my son looked him in the eye, and he said, man, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I was just so proud that instead of just, you know, most people, like you said, they're going to divert their eyes and walk away. And he just looked him in the eye, and he said, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're having to go through that. You know, just to have someone care, I think that's just incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I think that's the... I always tell people what we do is we believe in somebody, and that's basically what Jesus Christ and God did in us. God believed in us enough to send his son to be the ultimate ransom for us. He gave everything for us, and so I think a lot of times it's just the fact if we believe in somebody, then it's up, you know, it enables them to do amazing things, just like our belief in Christ makes us more than conquerors. And so if we believe in them, then they... Because some of these people have never been believed in their whole life. You know, you see people beat down that are 60 years old that have, you know, nobody's ever believed in them. Nobody's ever said an encouraging word to them. And you encourage them and lift them up, and it's amazing. So.
That's more amazing than anything you can do for them, I'm sure. Well, what's been the best thing about living homeless?
Oh, there's a lot. There's been several experiences that have been really cool. I had a really, that same morning, day three was really cool. But I had an undercover boss experience, which was really cool. I walked into the mission, you know, and I wouldn't have had that if I'd driven my truck. But I walked into the mission and I ate. And so this lady was like, hey, do you, I'd never seen her. She didn't know who I was. I didn't know who she was. She said, do you live at the motel? And I'm like, no. She said, well, I was going to walk with you. And I said, well, I'll walk with you anyway. And so I walked with her and she was sharing her story. And when people call me and they know who I am, they tell me what they think I want to hear. To get assistance. But this lady was walking, as I'm walking with her, she's telling me the hardships that she's having and going through. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're paying for this lady's motel and she doesn't even know who I am. And then I knew in 2 days I was going to pay for it again. And so it was nice to be in that situation where she was telling me her story. And I was like, this is a good investment. We're investing in good soil. These people are really trying to work it out and make it happen. So that was really good. Oh, man, there's so much just seeing the community rally and the awareness of, you know, people are starting to do stuff. And, you know, just like, you know, the lady in Houston doing that and seeing people, the stories pop up and people. So that's really cool to be able to just see and maybe just, I don't know, empower people to maybe step out and take that step because a lot of people are scared to take that first step. And they think there's something special about whoever does what I do. I'm just an ordinary dude. There's nothing special about me. I just, you know, we just do something. And you know, and I can tell you this, if you would have ever told me 3 years ago that a volunteer organization that's ran by two people that works off private donation would be the go-to organization for homelessness in Russellville, and that we would have impacted thousands of lives and have transitioned, you know, we've transitioned hundreds of families in that period of time from being homeless to home, into a home. There's no way I would have ever thought that could happen. I mean, that's just, you know, that's God. You know, it's just, it's basically stepping out and, you know, God doing the rest. And I think that's what, you know, I really want people to do is just, you know, just do something and trust God. Because, man, if you step out there, man, he's faithful.
He is. He always is. And you're right. That's exactly the way he treats us. And I love this idea about transitioning people, not just helping them for a moment in time, but how do you equip them to make a true transition?
Well, it's harder.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to invest your life. You have to invest time. You know, I've got a lady that just left a while ago, and she's investing in a single mom and a little, one of the most adorable 11-year-old autistic girls in the world. Her smile could brighten up a dark room. It's amazing. But this lady, you know, she was saying, I'm not giving you any money. And I told her, I was like, oh, my God, what you're giving me is worth more than $10,000 to me, because you're taking and investing your life. You're investing time, you're building relationships, you know, and she's mentoring this mother in the process, and, you know, trying to instill good parenting skills and all this. It's just, it's amazing. So, but yeah, that's part of what we do, is just try to mentor, try to help make decisions, not make them for them, but help empower them to make those decisions. And in that, you build confidence. And then that's something that a lot of people don't have. And so we build them up step by step. And we, you know, we require people to work. I mean, that's one of the things. When you come in, you got to get a job. It's not, you know, you don't come in and sleep in a tent or sleep in a micro cabin or house. You got to get a job. We got to start working. We got to make this happen. And so the process is, you know, you got to get a job and you work yourself out of it. And through that process, we have hard conversations, just like you have a hard conversation with your children, you know, to make them or encourage them to do the right things. We have to have hard conversations with them. And sometimes you come to an impasse and it's time to part ways. And that happens. It never gets easy, but it happens. So
I'm sure. But I love that. It's just so much easier for us sometimes to write a check.
Yes.
I love that concept of investing in people, mm-hmm. because that's what Jesus did. He invested
Jesus
in his disciple.
Dirty.
He got his hands dirty.
Yeah.
God got his hands dirty in creation, but
yeah.
He invested in his disciples, and then they went out, and it just kept spreading and spreading mm-hmm. and spreading. And that is neat, because I'm seeing that. It's a domino effect.
Yeah.
It's impacting other communities.
Yeah.
How do you think that this is a feasible model for other communities?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, because like I say, we're doing nothing special. We're not special at all. It's a feasible model for smaller communities. And let's take, for example, I've got one of my best friends just planted a church in Huntington Beach, California. And he's got a small group of people that he's planting a church with. And I just went out there in November. And we're talking about a community of 200,000, okay, Huntington Beach. And then everything around's big too. In just, oh gosh, probably 6 to 8 months, they had integrated probably 3 homeless people into their church that are actively setting up and serving and doing things. One of the guys that just, I mean, he was homeless just a short period ago, is now is teaching from the pulpit, because he's, you know, he had, I'll touch on that in just a minute, but it's just amazing that, you know, you can, even in a larger demographic, if you'll mentor and if you'll concentrate on transitioning, it can work. But, you know, talking about Kittrick there, who's an amazing guy, a lot of people, they ask, you know, do you share your faith with these people? Well, one thing I found out is every person that I impact has heard the gospel. They've heard the story of Jesus Christ, but they've never seen somebody that actually lived it out and seen Jesus with skin on. And like, not like I'm Jesus. I'm not saying that. But they've never seen anybody love on them and live that out. And so, and another thing is, I think sometimes we're arrogant to assume that they need Jesus just because they're homeless, because a lot of them have Jesus even though they're homeless. I mean, there's, you know, a young man, a young 28-year-old black man that came to me a little over 2 years ago. He's like, man, I just had an argument with my roommate. I got kicked out. He's like, I can go get another apartment, but if I do, I can't pay my child support. And I'm like, whoa, back up. You're telling me you want to live in the woods so you can pay your child support? He said, man, I got to. And I was like, what? And so this kid lived in the woods for 4 months until he could get a second job and get an apartment, which he still has today, 2 years later. But every time he opened his shelter, there was this daily devotional in his Bible. So, I mean, he was trucking through that, right? You know, Jesus was right in the middle there. And it was just, so I think sometimes we automatically assume just because somebody's homeless that they don't know Jesus. And I can tell you this, I've given hundreds of coats away. I've never given the coat off my back. And, you know, I last year I picked up a 19-year-old kid below freezing weather. I said, where's your coat? He said, there was a lady that needed it worse than I. And I told my wife, I said, I've never done that. She said, I'm sure you would. And I said, well, it depends on what coat I was wearing that day, you know, or I've seen people that will literally, if they see somebody in need, they'll invite them in and let them sleep in their tent. You know, that's close proximity just so they're not out in the elements. And so I've learned more in 3 years working with homeless people than I learned a lot of times sitting in a pew.
That's really very humbling. That is very humbling.
I can't tell you how much that people, oh gosh, I just wish I could tell stories and put faces on all of these names and to the people that, you know, that give the glory to God. You know, when you're helping somebody and you haven't even mentioned God's name or Jesus, and they look at you and they say, man, God's working for us through you. And I'm like, it's just, you know, and they're giving glory to God, and that's all it's about, you know. And as long as he gets the glory, but I mean, time and time again that you know, we don't even say before we even say anything, or there's times that, man, you build a relationship. I built a relationship for 9 months with a guy. And finally, 9 months later, sitting across the table with him at Denny's, I shared my faith, you know, but it was that time. He hasn't made that decision yet, but it was that time, you know, it took 9 months to build that relationship to say, listen, the door opened up. So,
well, they always say that people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
Yes, and that's what we do. We believe in them and we love them, and it hurts sometimes.
Well, it's definitely the hard thing to do. Do you think that it's possible that we could completely eradicate homelessness in our community?
No. And I don't have that dream. The Bible says the poor we will have with us always. True. And I understand that. Poor is a state of mind. Broke is a state of finances. And I can educate you out of broke. I can't necessarily educate you out of being poor.
And one's temporary. Yeah, and one's temporary. Permanent.
And we've learned that if we can't transition you in that 90 to 120, we can reach out to 180 sometimes. If we can't transition you, you can become from situational homeless to chronically homeless. And so that's why we push so hard to make that transition happen, because we've had it happen with a couple people that were good people. We lost a good man 2 years ago, about a year ago, who went from situational to chronic, and he died on us. So I hated it. So.
That's tragic. Well, what can the people in this community do to help?
Pray, and people, you know, I definitely want prayer, and I want to share something about God's covering in his prayer. One of the things we were worried about going into this 30-day challenge was me physically, because I even sleeping in a nice mattress in a warm home, I have physical like back and knee issues. And somebody was asking the other day, how are you doing? I'm like, man, I'm doing better than if I wake up in my own bed. And so and it's God alone, because I know that there are thousands of people praying for me every night. And I don't want them praying for me. I want them praying for my friends, but I know they're praying for me anyway. But and so prayer works, man. That's just God and God alone to that. But financially, I try to tell people money buys anything. I know people don't like necessarily giving money. They want to give something tangible. But money buys a birth certificate. Money buys an ID. Money buys a starter for somebody's car so that they don't lose their job. It pays for a motel room. It buys diapers. It buys feminine products. You know, it buys anything. It buys tents. It pays for micro cabins. It pays for propane. You know, right now we're going through propane because it's so cold. So financially donating is amazing. You know, there are certain at different times we take different donations. You know, toiletries we're pretty good on. We always take canned goods that are pop top, because a lot of times when you eat in a camp, you don't have the ability to cook, and so you may have a cold can of SpaghettiOs or a cold can of soup or whatever to fill in those gaps. Groups of ladies or men can cook meals, and we could have, you know, if we know ahead of time, we can have a team deliver those meals to all of our camps or motels. Those numbers fluctuate from 15 to 50, however many you're going to have to feed at any given time. A local lady named Kara Payne is going to be heading that up. Right now we deliver 3 nights a week. We're going to try to get to 6 nights a week. So
I think that's very doable in this community.
Well, and you as a doctor understand that when you walk a mile and a half before you eat a meal and a mile and a half after you eat a meal, you just burned up a lot of calories. And I've learned that being out here in these 18 days.
When it's cold.
Yeah, I'm like, we've got to, these evening meals are so important, because we got to have those calories out there that are not going to get burned off walking afterwards. So we're going to go to 6 nights. We're really going to focus on getting to 6 nights.
I think we can do it.
I believe we can.
So. Do you think that there are things that people donate that are not useful?
At times. I think if you donate certain types of soaps or certain, I try to tell people, if you're not going to use it, don't buy it. And I hate to say that, you know, somebody will go and they'll buy right here. You probably look at me and think I probably hadn't shaved in a day or two, but I haven't shaved in 18 days. I don't grow a lot of hair. But the thing is, and I made that decision early on because I'm one of those guys that uses the razor with like 5 blades, and all we have are donated is cheap ones. And I was like, I'm just going to not do that. So, you know, if you buy something cheap for somebody and they're not being unappreciative, but you're also saying this is all you're worth. You know what I'm saying?
We give our leftovers.
Yeah. You give our leftovers. You know, you're not saying, you know, whereas when somebody throws in here with a shit Quattro and, you know, some nice shave gel, that makes a guy feel good. Or, you know, or the same way I had a lady the other day, you know, had like some of those nice razors and some nice gel. She's like, oh my God, that is so nice, you know. And so that makes them feel better. Granted, we didn't get as many, but my God, making somebody feel better is better than having 100 razors sitting on a shelf.
Well, and so, like you said, that making you feel special.
Yeah,
that's
so
important.
That makes an impact. So, yeah, there are some things that we don't get into the rotation of being used.
Well, we just have a couple of minutes left. Will you tell us just a little bit about your vision for the Transitional Living Facility?
Transitional Living has morphed around. We just bought a women's and children's house. We bought a women's house, and we have 3 apartments there. This 30-day challenge, we're really hoping to raise about $75,000 to $80,000 to do everything I need. To build 2 more units that are going to be our first 2 transitional units. And, you know, transitional is basically you're going to come in, there's going to be an education process involved. You're going to have to pay to stay there, as far as you're going to make a 30% donate or money order out to yourself every time you get paid. And at the end of your stay, you're going to have all that money. It's not about supporting us, but it's about teaching responsibility that you don't get anything for free. You have to pay however much to stay there. And if you don't stay, if you don't pay, you don't stay. And it could be that you only make $3 that way, or $3 or pay that, but whatever. It's 30% of whatever you make. And so, but it's about building you up, building responsibility, structure, and transitioning you. If we can't transition you, then we've not done any good. So that's not good grammar there, but they're good.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, let me just close with Matthew 25:34-40. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger or take you in without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'I assure you, whatever you did for the least of these my brothers of mine, you did for me.'" So I think that
can
you're
I add
definitely
one thing on there
blessed.
Real quick, if
sure.
I got a few things. That scripture is great. I just want to say, this doesn't make sense, but listen to it. It says, love cannot not do something. And love, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. But if you love something, you cannot not do something about it. And everybody has something. It may not be homelessness, but we all have a passion that God has planted inside of us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you for all of your work.